discerning the Lord's body. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 29. The text means that some bring ruin upon themselves because they do not have a proper sense of the Lord's body. There is a wide diversion both of thought and practice in regard to the remembrance feast. Apart from the Roman Mass, which has corrupted the feast with idolatry, there is the excessive practice of it by using it on many occasions, as the Church of England does, and as many times, and sometimes many times on the Lord's Day, and for such an assortment of events during the year, events which are always followed by the partaking of the Lord's Supper, all sorts of events. Then there is the Presbyterian practice of observing it but four times a year, quarterly. Then there is the Baptist practice of once a month. But the evidence of Scripture is that the saints gather for worship, the central feature of which is the breaking of bread, and that this is to be observed every Lord's Day. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Perhaps a greater danger than irregularity is in making the feast as a mere religious ritual, without spiritual affection, or without any heart exercise of worship or thanksgiving. Again in Scripture, this feast is nowhere called a sacrifice. The sacrifice for sins was made once and for all upon Calvary's cross. That can never, never be repeated. But its memory is preserved in the weekly observance of the memorial feast. The gathering place for that feast is round a table, not round an altar. The blessing of the feast is given to the participant who comes with a proper spirit of worship and praise and thanksgiving. There is no priest presiding. The Lord himself presides. The blessing is given by the grace and favor of the Holy Spirit as the participant discerns by his aid the spiritual realities of the ordinance. The one thing to be supremely discerned in is the Lord's body. And his body is spoken of in Scripture both as a personal, a physical and mystical body. Look first then at the personal body of our Lord. We are to discern in the first place that his personal body was crucified. The world may look upon our Lord as a great moral teacher with ideals to embrace, or that of a martyr dying for a cause. But believers discern that he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. The heart of the gospel message is not example, but expiation, that he purged our sins, that in that body he suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Then we discern that this personal body of his was risen and glorified. This body of his was raised from the dead on the third day. And after many appearances to his own during 40 days, he was taken up in that same body in his ascension to the right hand of the Father. Acts 1 verse 11. This church, his church, is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But in his own body, our Lord lives before the Father's face in glory, acting as advocate for all who belong to his church. He is not in the loaf of bread on the table as a kind of imprisoned deity. That is pagan idolatry. And for no other supposing than to advance and exalt the power of priestcraft, then too, we discern his body as that in which he will come again. As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. Nothing is clearer than that the Lord will return in his body. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. And he is coming. He did not make mistake when he promised to return. The apostles did not mistake when they proclaimed it. The early church did not make mistake when they announced it. And maybe the present day church has lost some of its power and glory by neglecting it. God has a purpose concerning the material creation, which he will not surrender. The Lord will come in his body and put his feet on the Mount of Olives. Zechariah 14 and verse 4. He is coming back to reclaim this earth. For the earth is the Lord, both by creatorial and redemptive right. Then we look at our Lord's mystical body. The mystical body of the Lord. If we come to observe the feast with a discerning and anointed spirit, we will recognize this mystical body in the one loaf. We being many are one bread and one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. His church is his body. First of all, it is a body called out of the world. This is implicit in the Greek word for assembly or church, ecclesia, which means to be called out. Just as Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and Israel was called out of Egypt, so the church is called out from a condemned world. It is distinct from the world by the experience of redemption. Believers are separated from the world and separated unto Christ. If we by grace are brought into a most intimate union with our Lord, how can we be joined to and intimate with the world which crucified him? Fellowship at the Lord's memorial feast demands separation from the world. Secondly, it is a body called into togetherness. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17. We being many are one body. We must discern the vital bond which binds all the redeemed together from all nations and from all sorts of conditions. The church is one body. His church is a living organism, and the basis of fellowship is a common life in Christ, the life of his spirit. We should never come to this feast at variance one with another. All antagonisms and grievances and despisings must come to an end. For if our fellowship with each other is not whole and complete, then our testimony ceases to be vital. Believers divided are utterly helpless and have no compelling witness before the world. Thirdly, it is a body called unto glory. There are pessimists and skeptics who harp on the theme of the church as a spent force and in a dying decline. This memorial feast is to remind us every week that the company of the Lord's people is to be a most glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:27. This elect company, called out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, Revelation 5:9, will be together round the throne of God and of the Lamb, singing unto him who washed slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, singing unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 1:5. We are called unto eternal glory. Now may I read the words of an unknown hymn writer from the 15th century, translated by Benjamin Webb. O love, how deep, how broad, how high, it fills the heart with ecstasy, that God, the Son of God, should take our mortal form for mortal's sake. For us he was baptized and born, his holy fast and hungered sore. For us temptation sharp he knew, for us the tempter overthrew. For us to wicked men betrayed, scourged, mocked, in purple robe arrayed, he bore the shameful cross and death. For us at length gave up his breath. For us he rose from death again. For us he went on high to reign. For us he sent his Spirit here to guide, to strengthen, and to cheer. Amen. And